Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 586. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Mitchell Fain.
And he's laughing.
Oh my God, you just said the funniest thing.
I did. I said my mucus is stringy.
It's stringy, I know.
And then you started singing the milkshakes.
I did.
My mucus brings all the boys to the yard.
It doesn't. That's disgusting.
Our editor die when I call her. My ringtone is milkshake.
It is?
It is.
You know, I just saw Khalees earlier this summer in the spring at the Park West.
Yes.
If anybody doesn't have Khalees's, this is how we're starting off.
I don't.
Khalees's new CD, it's called Food. I think it's the best CD of the year. I love it. It's so weird and quirky and Khalees. And if you're not, if you think that milkshake is the only thing that she does.
It's the only thing I know.
Right. Most people do.
Yeah.
In the way that, like, for a while, people only thought of Cyndi Lauper as Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Yeah.
Right.
And, or Christina Aguilera as Genie in a Bottle.
Right. It's like, anyway, Food is great. The CD's called
Food. I made
a
Christina reference, but that was pretty good.
Really
nice. Because I don't like her.
You don't?
I do. I do and I don't.
I love her.
I loved the album that was like...
Was Beautiful?
No. The one that was came out that kind of had like a lot of 1950s.
Oh, yeah. It's called Back to Basics.
Back to Basics.
Yeah, it's great.
That's a great one.
It's great.
That's my favorite.
It's so good.
I like Beautiful. I like that
song
single.
I was driving around Newport, Rhode Island. I just dropped something. Hold on one second. Let me pick it up.
Oh, pick it up.
Newport, Rhode Island.
Pick it up. I'm going to be dropping Newport, Rhode Island here pretty soon, too.
Oh, right, because you're going here.
I'm going here.
So I was driving around and my shuffle was on. You know, I have an iPod Classic, right? So I have literally like 13,000 songs on my...
Yeah.
For some reason, it was on this.
So do you travel with your iPod and your phone?
I do, because on your phone, you can only have so many songs. On my iPod, I can travel with every single song I own.
Yeah.
Right? I like to travel with all the music I own, because you never know when you're going to need to hear Tom Waits, or you're going to need to hear that.
See, I don't have an iPod, so I always have to pick and choose on my phone when I travel.
I don't pick and choose. I will listen to my iPhone a lot if I'm not... But I will travel with my iPod Classic. It's clunky. It's heavy. Mm-hmm. It's the size of a phone. But then if I'm in the car and somebody says, you know what I want to hear? Or, you know, I can make a, you know, on-the-go playlist of anything.
Yep.
Music, you know. So anyway, so Christina came on. And it was one of those songs from that album.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't even recognize it at first. Like, mm-hmm. It sort of mixed in with this. A bunch of jazz songs had come on. And it just sort of mixed in. And finally, somebody in the car said, Louisa said, who's that? And I was like, I don't know. And it was Christina. It was so beautiful.
Yeah, that's a good CD.
And strangely subtle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. I think that's why I like that CD, because I'm not into...
I know, the melisma.
Yeah. I'm not into the crazy...
Melismatic. That's that runs up and down the scale is melisma. It's like a gospel term.
Right? Yeah. It's not my jam. I like the big drama with like the Celine Dion... But I don't, the big power notes, but I don't love the little like.
I love that more than I can tell you.
I know.
I love it. So how are
you? And I also just can't watch Christina Aguilera sing.
See, I love it.
Because I can't watch her and Mariah Carey. Well, it's mostly Mariah Carey. I can't watch
the notes.
Finger and like, yeah.
I used to hate it, but now
now
I love it because it is Mariah. It's like, it wasn't an affectation. It's how she sings. Mm-hmm. Like it's how many years later? It's like 30 years later, whatever, 20-something years later, and she still does it when she sings. So I'm like, oh, it wasn't an affectation then. It's what she does when she sings.
It disturbs me. I can listen. I can't watch. And Carrie Underwood's the same way, because she has a thing where she ticks with her thumb is under the microphone, uh-huh. and the four fingers are on top of the microphone. And
that's a Dionne Warwick trick. Whitney used to do that.
Yeah, she like clamps her other four hands down, and then she'll change hands. She changes hands with her microphone, and it is such a tick, it drives me bonkers.
That's like, hilarious.
Crazy. No, you asked how I was. I am sick for the seventh time.
I feel like a lot of people are sick
in
this
December,
summer.
And it has sucked. Can I just
the
say?
Time, would you say the fourth 20, time since December?
Yes, wow. Seventh time. Well, no, I've been on antibiotics once a month since December.
Ooh, that's not good.
It's not good. I had teeth issues.
That's right.
I had an implant and an extraction, and they make you go on amoxicillin for that. And then, actually, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's been six times. It's been five times of antibiotics. December, I was sick when I was on my vacation in the islands the first week of December. Couldn't get well. Antibiotics. Was on antibiotics and got the same kind of sinusy thing in February. Got sick again 4 weeks later in March in rehearsal. Then I had this abscess tooth in May, which made me think, okay, that's what these past three sicknesses have been about. And had the tooth pulled, and then they put you on antibiotics for that.
Of course.
And then I got sick in North Carolina, which I just was in North Carolina and South Carolina. Was sick there. Had to come down off the mountain and call for antibiotics because I was so sick. And then I came back and had
how
my
Dolly
implant.
Parton,
I know. I had to Skype. I was like, we'll call you back. I was like, no, I have no cell signal. I will call you back. What time? Tell me, and I'll call you on the dot.
Right.
And I had to Skype them. And then drive 35 minutes into town to find, to the CVS that I could Google search. I had Wi-Fi. I just didn't have a cell. And so then I was on antibiotics for that. And then I came back, had my implant. They put me on antibiotics for that. I got sick 2 days after I finished 7 days of amoxicillin again. So I don't know. I'm either, I am discovering the wild world of probiotics.
Yeah.
Because my chiropractor was like, you have no good flora in your body, to which I said, hey, why are you pointing fingers?
Yeah, don't judge.
What do you know about
me? Hey, judging.
Exactly. Luckily, it's not upsetting my stomach, all these antibiotics. I don't have stomach issues like that. But
antibiotics upset my stomach.
Yeah, that's what
they
say.
I'm allergic to the psyllin, so I have to take the really intense ones that do upset your stomach, because I can't take amoxicillin or penicillin. I'm allergic to psyllins.
Yeah, okay.
Well, this is what I think is going to help.
It has been sucky, makes suck is what it's been.
Yeah. Because I've been sick too. I've been in
Yeah, you
this
have
thing.
Too.
But I'll tell you what's going to help. The sea air
in
Newport, Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Because you're going.
I'm heading there.
And I just got back. Yeah. Well, I was in Rhode Island, but I did go to Newport. And I went to Rhode Island. I went to Rhode Island because I go every year.
Yep, you do. And I've always wanted to go with you, but I'm going on my own.
Stay with my friend Louisa. I stay with Louisa. Or I stay with my friend Jim in Providence, or my friend Chris, who lives in Lincoln, Rhode Island. There's a Lincoln in every state, I swear to God.
Are you playing with one of my long hairs?
I am. I found this very long blonde hair on the couch. So this time, I don't actually stay with Chris because she has such a busy house. She has three teenage boys.
Yeah.
Well, I want to talk about that.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
We've got to talk about boys after
But
news.
Boyhood. Yeah, we want to talk about boyhood.
We'll talk about boys in general.
So, so I stay with Chris, but then staying with Louisa, she lives down near the beach in West Kingston, and it's so beautiful. And we went into Newport, which is just over the bridge, two bridges.
Is Newport News the same as Newport?
No.
Where's
Newport?
Newport
News is Virginia.
Gotcha, that's true.
And then
true.
There's also a Newport in California, but Newport,
there's
Rhode
Island. There's not Newport, Connecticut either?
Nope.
Okay,
nope.
Just
there's
Newport, Rhode
Island. There's all sorts of New Havens and but a New Canaan. But Newport, Rhode Island is, it used to be the capital of America at one point. It has the first temple ever in America. Huh. It's incredibly.
Mazel. I'll go there.
Yeah. It's incredibly historic. But I was struck as I was there. Now, I've been hundreds of times. I grew up in Rhode Island. But even Rhode Islanders, you got to go over two bridges. And when you live in a place as small as Rhode Island, things seem bigger. So, the idea of going to Newport is, I think my mother hadn't been to Newport in 40 years.
Yeah. It's like my mother in our tiny town in Tennessee. She'll be like, well, I don't want to go all the way over across town. I'm like, it's the same as like leaving my house in Edgewater to going to like Lincoln Park. And right. my mother thinks it's like going to the moon.
Same thing in Rhode Island. So,
yeah, small town mentality.
So it's so easy. And so we went to Newport and I was struck by so many things. But the thing that I was most struck by that I was really excited to share with you because you're going is just how simply beautiful it mm-hmm. is. How simply beautiful it is. It's so... you know, it's like these cobblestone streets and, you know, little, you know, you see a house that's like established in 1700 or, and the, you know, the harbor and boats and the, this is what I was saying was going to heal you is the smell of the sea air, right? Yeah. I mean, just breathing in this like salty sea air as you're sitting on the deck of a restaurant sipping something delicious. I think it's going to be so restorative for you. I'm actually going to go out on a limb and make a promise. I also find that for a strange little, what can be a strange little conservative state in a way.
Rhode Island.
Only because...
we all have marriage.
We have gay marriage, thanks to Louisa's parents.
I think you may not be socially conservative. I think that you're conservative in other ways. Maybe. Physically and... Yeah.
Well, it's just that like it's a bit of a blue-collar state, except... Mm-hmm. Except there's these bastions of, I mean, you can see there's so many queer people in Newport. You can see queer mm-hmm. couples wandering around. And, you know, Providence just have the only gay mayor of a capital city. Mm-hmm. He's now a senator, so mm-hmm. he's not the mayor anymore. But,
what's his name?
David Cicilline.
That's and, right.
But Newport, you can, it's just, you know, I wouldn't say that it's like a queer destination, but it kind of is, right?
No, I think it very much is. It's a culinary destination now. Yeah. It's one of the best places to eat.
You can eat your...
Named by New York Times or somebody like one of the top 10 places to eat in America.
Yeah, I mean, you can eat your way from the top of Rhode Island to the bottom. Which we're really happy about that. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the combination of old school Italians and fresh seafood. I mean, I've talked about Rhode Island on the podcast before, but it was just truly beautiful to go back and be a little bit of a tourist in Newport while I was there because I knew that you were going. Mm-hmm. And so I was looking at it like, oh, what's Amy going to see or going to like, you know?
Yep.
So I don't always go over the bridge into Newport because there's, you know, other places I go. But I decided to go because I wanted to see it through those eyes. And I spent quite a bit of time just driving in the car, driving down Ocean Drive, which goes by all the famous mansions. And the Cliff Walk, which is this beautiful walk behind the mansions. And we went to First Beach. If you want to go to the beach, go to First Beach. It's mm-hmm. so beautiful.
Is the water so cold, though?
It isn't. It's actually, no. I mean, it's sure, it's colder than, like, the Caribbean.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's hearty New England cold. But it's not so cold that you can't get in. I mean, it's especially at the end of the season.
Yep.
It's gorgeous. And I just was struck by how beautiful it is. Mm. And just everywhere you look, there's some beautiful old building and some... a historic plaque that tells you how the, you know, founding fathers rode
I'm so
through.
Excited to go. I'm so excited to be in Rhode Island because I know how much you love it.
I love it.
I'm assuming I'll go back.
So beautiful.
Sometime with you. But yeah, I'm excited to go. We've got, you know, three pretty full days and nights there, which is really, really great.
It's great. It's a wander around because it's so tiny. I mean, Rhode Island's tiny, and then Newport's a tiny island off tiny Rhode Island.
Yeah.
So you can wander.
Yeah.
You know, and where you would want to wander is even tinier, right? The section of Newport where you would want to wander, where there's shops and yummy stuff. And my goodness, you can spend 3 days just like going into like cute little shops and you know collecting seashells from the beach. And
I know, I'm so excited.
I mean, just gorgeous.
I'm so excited. I'm doing this as my I think I said this on a couple of shows before when maybe you were on, but I'm going to Provincetown and to Newport, right. And kind of been planning this for a little while, and I haven't been back to New England in general since I was 22.
Wow.
So, you know, just 5 years ago. Yeah. But it feels like 20.
Yeah. I was going to say, in dog years.
Yes, in dog years.
In years.
Yeah, so I'm really, really, really excited. And I'm going with my girlfriend, who I don't talk about a lot on the show, but who is...
And I have to say, as much as I thought about how much you're going to love it, your girlfriend...
Yeah.
Is a particularly sort of elegant woman with a particularly elegant taste.
Yeah.
From my experience of her home.
And she loves sailing and she loves the
water. And she's going to lose
Hermione. I think so too, and I'm really excited too.
I'm so excited about it. I mean, I didn't say excited. You know, it's your girlfriend. I don't want to, you know, bring up your personal life, but
yeah,
your girlfriend is going to lose her mind.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little. I don't talk about my relationship much on the show anymore. I have talked about my relationships on the show since 1998. Right. I believe actually, I had a horrible breakup in 99 that people still talk to me about, like, that I talked about it live on the air. And I was just like, yeah, you know, this happened and that happened. And, you know, that was back when, you know, I thought Howard Stern had a role, a model that was working. But I don't talk about my relationships much on the show. I talk about my life.
Right.
But I am going to talk about it maybe a little bit today. But just in the fact that, you know, the person I'm with has not been a part of the LGBT community before. And so right. I think it will be very fun for her to experience Provincetown because it's...
Yeah.
To be immersed in it. And not that, you know, we're living any kind of closeted existence here. We live
It'll
in Chicago.
It'll be interesting, though.
But
when
I just think...
You said you haven't been in Provincetown, that area, since 20 years, right? It'll be interesting what you see... because remember,
I went with eyes that were like, at the time, when I went, I was living in Memphis, Tennessee. I had only been out a year, kind of. And to me, it was just like, oh my God, I can't believe every store is gay and every, you know, it's kind of how I felt when I came to Chicago the first time and I saw Boys Town, and that's Boys Town 20 years
ago.
Remember
the store, We're Everywhere?
Yeah, We're Everywhere. I got my first t-shirt that said, I can't even think straight.
First thing I did was I bought my best friend a t-shirt that said straight but not narrow.
Yeah. I love those. Don't Panic. They had the Don't Panic brand.
On a side note, you know, this idea about like talking about our lives and stuff like that. Like sometimes we talk about arts and we talk about, we review things and we talk about stuff like that. But talking about our lives, I have a very, very good friend who I've mentioned before because we met on a cruise ship, but he was he's a fan of the podcast.
Right.
So Brad, I know you're
listening. Yes, Brad.
So hi, Brad.
Hi, Brad.
So Brad said to me recently, hi, Brad and Jason. We were, he said that sometimes he forgets that we haven't talked in a little while because he'll listen to the podcast.
Yes.
And he hears us talking.
And he thinks he's caught up.
And he's like, I know.
So, I know you've done this.
Exactly. So, hey, Brad.
That's so funny. But yeah, so we're really excited and I'll be hopefully, doing some podcasts with you when I get back about some of my travels. And it's not an official work trip. If I get a chance to interview some people, I will. If I don't,
I was just saying that I think it would be curious to see what you think of how integrated Provincetown has become in
Well, I can already tell
years.
From the reviews that now when you're trying to think of like, what do I want to do or places or things and you're reading it, it's like me and my husband and you look and it's a woman writing a review. And you know, even back then, you know, I felt like there was a lot of straight people too.
Well, sure. New Englanders knew. I mean, especially people in the area, they knew it was a gay resort, but they also knew it was a safe place to go to take your kids. And
that's
that it was great food because, you know, it was like a happy place. It wasn't like
safe.
There's a party going all the time, but it's not like a frat party.
No.
Do you know what I'm saying? And so even though there was a crazy gay party going on 24/7.
And drag queen shows
and drag
at
queens,
1 o'clock
it
in
wasn't
the afternoon.
Like a, it wasn't one of those sort of, it didn't feel,
It doesn't feel seedy or aggressive.
It didn't feel like spring break, right? That sort of like. And so it still has that. It's still very much like a party's going on and then there's families too.
Yeah.
But it's even more integrated, which I find really beautiful.
Yeah.
I know some people find it a little bit of an intrusion on our little
bubble.
But, you know, with what's the word I'm looking for? With assimilation comes integration.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm excited. I think that it will be fun and... you know, we don't have a huge agenda, and that's the best way to go, just to see what
You know,
comes
I went
up.
To Rhode Island partially because it was my 30th high school reunion.
Oh, my gosh. Can we talk about that right after the news?
Yes.
I can't wait.
Well,
30 years?
I know,
what?
But it's funny. Something funny happened.
All right. We're going to talk about it. Well, let's tell you what's going on in the news in the theater scene, and then Mitchell Fain will be back, and we'll look at 30 years back.
Oof.
What?
Ugh.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Weekend News. Former Florida Governor Charlie Crist has pledged to sign an executive order that would prohibit state agencies from discriminating against employees on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity if he returns to the governor's mansion. Crist announced that if elected, he will sign 5 executive orders January 6, 2015, that will make Florida a better place for all, not just those at the top. One of his executive orders would prohibit any form of discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity within the state agencies or its contractors, because all Floridians should be equal in the eyes of the law.
Broward Circuit Judge Dale Cohen declared Florida's gay marriage ban unconstitutional. This is the third South Florida judge in 18 days to do so. He immediately stayed his decision pending an appeal by the state of Florida.
A federal judge dismissed a challenge to New Jersey's law prohibiting ex-gay therapy for minors. U.S. District Court Judge Freda Wolfson dismissed the case Doe v. Christie, which was filed by a minor and his parents, arguing that the New Jersey ban violates the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. The dismissal follows a similar decision by Wolfson in November 2013 in the case King v. Christie, filed by two licensed therapists challenging the law.
Opponents of Houston's LGBT inclusive equal rights ordinance fell short of qualifying for a ballot referendum by about 2,000 signatures. The city council approved the ordinance May 28th and consolidates city bans on discrimination based on sex, race, age, religion, and other categories, and increases protections for LGBT residents.
The Supreme Court won't avoid the issue of same-sex marriage the next time a case comes to the court, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg said. Ginsburg said in an interview with the Associated Press that she expects a same-sex marriage case to be heard and decided by June 2016, and possibly a year earlier. She added that attitudes have changed swiftly in favor of same-sex marriage, which is now legal in 19 states and the District of Columbia.
Five same-sex couples have been turned down for marriage licenses in a South Carolina county. The couples expected their request to be rejected. The rejections happened 2 days after the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that Virginia's ban on gay marriage is unconstitutional. South Carolina is in the same judicial circuit, but the state plans to continue fighting a lawsuit to overturn its gay marriage ban.
Chicago will have an open gay mayoral candidate. Dennis Snyers, who has worked in the financial services industry for several years, announced his intentions August 5th at the LGBT community facility, the Center on Halsted. Snyers claims he would bring to City Hall a governing style that's more diplomatic, transparent, and open to new ideas than the one current Mayor Rahm Emanuel has.
Funders for LGBTQ Issues has released a new report entitled Pathways Forward, Foundation Funding for LGBTQ Immigration Issues. The report finds that while there are nearly 1 million LGBTQ immigrants in the U.S., less than half of 1% of immigration funding specifically targets LGBTQ immigrants.
Dozens of Indiana firefighters, police officers, and emergency medical workers say a federal appeals court should uphold same-sex marriage in Indiana and Wisconsin for the sake of families of gay first responders. A spokeswoman for Marriage Equality Supporters said that more than 100 first responders have signed a legal brief filed with the 7th U.S. Court of Appeals. The court has scheduled an August 26th hearing on an appeal of rulings that threw out same-sex marriage bans in Indiana and Wisconsin.
In Texas, the Fort Worth Police Department has launched a new effort to make inroads with the city's gay community. It is the latest attempt to mend a department rift between the city's officers and the LGBT community following the 2009 police raid of the Rainbow Lounge, during which two people were injured.
In world news, gay rights activists in Uganda and around the world are celebrating a decision by the country's constitutional court to strike down a widely condemned anti-gay law on a legal technicality. A five-judge panel ruled August 1st that the Speaker of Parliament acted illegally when she allowed a vote on the measure, despite at least three objections that not enough members of Parliament were in attendance. However, activists warn that homosexuality remained a criminal offense in the African country under colonial-era laws.
The University Grants Commission in India has officially recognized trans people, creating a separate category for them in applications for scholarships and fellowships. This means applicants filling out university forms will not be restricted to only choosing male or female gender identities. In April, India's highest court decreed an independent status for trans people and those who view themselves as a third gender.
A Chinese court is hearing the first case of its kind brought against a clinic that offers so-called gay conversion therapy. A long campaign in Europe and America has been successful in shifting the medical consensus against such treatments, and now campaigners want Chinese doctors to follow suit.
Turkey's first ever gay magazine has launched in print, and it features U.S. singer and gay icon Mariah Carey on its cover. Gay Mag is aimed at Turkey's growing gay community and features a range of news, culture, fashion, and lifestyle articles.
A criminal court in Saudi Arabia has sentenced a 24-year-old man to 3 years in jail and 450 lashes for trying to arrange a date with another man via Twitter. The court found the unidentified man guilty of promoting the vice and practice of homosexuality. Members of the Commission for the Promotion of Virtue and Prevention of Vice reportedly entrapped the man after using the social media site to invite him to meet for a date.
In Vietnam, approximately 300 activists led a colorful parade through Hanoi in the nation's largest ever gay pride event. Homosexuality remains taboo in Vietnam, but the country has witnessed a series of gradual advances, including the removal of fines for same-sex wedding parties. The August 3rd event was the third pride parade in Vietnam and attracted a wide range of people, including local activists, foreigners, and curious bystanders.
In entertainment news, Orange is the New Black co-star Laverne Cox, the first transgender person to be nominated for an Emmy, corrected CBS This Morning co-host Gayle King during her appearance on the weekday show. When co-host Gayle King started her section of the interview by saying, "So you were born a boy," Cox quickly corrected her by saying that she was assigned a gender at birth, but she always felt like she was a girl. Cox also spoke out about her twin brother, singer M. Lamar, who played the pre-trans version of Cox's Orange character, Sophia, in season one flashbacks.
Girl star Allison Williams will take to the air as Peter Pan for NBC. Williams, the daughter of NBC News anchor Brian Williams, has been cast as the iconic forever boy hero in Peter Pan Live, which will air on the network's December 4th live telecast.
Police have arrested a man they say was stalking Robin Roberts, host of ABC's Good Morning America. Tony Warren, 43, turned up at the ABC studios in New York 8 times between June 10th and June 24th, demanding to see Roberts.
Liza Minnelli was unable to join Alan Cumming for their previously announced August 4th concert in Provincetown, Massachusetts. Minnelli's publicist says Minnelli is under doctor's orders to continue to restrict her travel and performance schedule. Cumming went on without the show. Cumming went on with the show.
Benedict Cumberbatch stars as Alan Turing, the gay mathematician whose code-breaking skills helped defeat the Nazis in World War II, in the new trailer, The Imitation Game, a Turing biopic. Although Turing cracked the Nazis' Enigma code, he was arrested and prosecuted for gross indecency after admitting to police that he was in a relationship with another man. Turing committed suicide in 1954, 2 weeks before his 42nd birthday.
HRC has thrown its weight behind those taking issue with the Michigan Women's Music Festival's intention to exclude transgender women. This happened just days after Equality Michigan called on the festival to reverse its unofficial policy discouraging transgender women from attending the annual festival. This year, Orange is the New Black star Lea Delaria canceled her scheduled performance after becoming the subject of online criticism for being on the event's roster.
Michael Jackson's iconic Neverland Ranch is to be sold by a billionaire's private investment firm. Tom Barrack's company, Colony Capital, currently owns a primary stake in the estate after a deal made in 2007 when it purchased the $23 million loan Jackson owed to a private investment group.
The world champion San Antonio Spurs made NBA history announcing that six-time WNBA All-Star Becky Hammon will join the team as a full-time assistant coach for the 2014-2015 season, making Hammon the first woman ever in that position. Hammon, a 16-year WNBA veteran who has played for the San Antonio Stars since 2007, will retire after the current WNBA season concludes.
And singer-songwriter Sia tied the knot with filmmaker Eric Anders in a backyard wedding on August 2nd. The chandelier singer got engaged this past June. Gossip blogger Perez Hilton outed Sia as bisexual in 2010, which she said increased pressure on her. At the time, she was dating J.D. Samson of Men. And that's the Weekend News brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hey, pigs! This is Judy Tenuta, the lamb goddess, and you dance.
Art. Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of August 11th, 2014, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Many consider Terrence McNally the greatest gay playwright of his generation. In Some Men, McNally presents snapshots and characters from the 1920s through today that are hilarious and heartbreaking. Some Men, presented by Pride Films and Plays, runs through September 13th. For tickets to Some, brownpapertickets.com or visit Pride Films and Plays for more information.
Make it a summer to remember at River Edge Park in Aurora. Don't miss Jennifer Nettles and the Indigo Girls on August 29th. Jennifer Nettles and the Indigo Girls, August 29th. Tickets at riveredgeaurora.com. That's riveredgeaurora.com. River Edge Park in Aurora makes this summer to remember.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Anyone out there? Bueller? Bueller? Post a comment at WindyCityQueercast.com.
Strange how everything is changing now. Only my eyes are the same. I remember when you said to me, like candy that you fed to me, someone. All I wanted was to kiss you once.
And we're back, and Mitchell Fain's on the couch, and we were just talking about going back home to Newport. My first time I'm going to experience Newport here pretty soon this month. And I'll come back and give you my musings on it. Yeah. But Mitchell, you were going back for your 30th high school reunion?
Yes, I was going back. I mean, I go back every year to Rhode Island to visit. I didn't grow up in Newport, but nothing's that far. I grew up in Cranston, which is just outside of Providence, which is the capital. So it's 30 years since I graduated high school in 1984.
What?
And so they always, the past couple of years.
Have you seen Guardians of the Galaxy? Sorry to have a segue.
I have not.
But the whole soundtrack, you need to see it.
It's the 80s.
It's a kid who... Yes, become
I know that
gets
I need
abducted
to see Chris Pratt
and goes.
He's the cutest thing ever.
And he gets abducted in 1984, and he's got his summer mix jam. And
1984.
Yeah,
that was my year.
This is what I'm saying. You need to get it.
Tina
you can
Turner's
download
comeback.
The whole album on iTunes. It's great.
I'm gonna check it out. I probably have all the music.
You probably do.
So
a nice plug for Guardians of the Galaxy for the adult sector.
You like
you want to see it? Yeah, a fun.
So I had missed. Past couple of sort of mini reunions because they were happening over
you
Thanksgiving
weekend. You didn't get a 25
weekend.
Or 20?
I went to 20. I didn't go to 25 because it was happening over
the holiday.
So I guess I missed one over the holiday and I'm always doing Santa Land. And so this year I said, well, you should have it when I can come. So then they decided to plan it in the summer. And it wasn't because of me, but partly from that suggestion. So then there was a plan afoot. And I thought, well, I'm going to Rhode Island anyway. So I'm going to plan it around that time. And then as it turns out, not that many people were going to be around because of a bunch of reasons. So that not that many people signed up for it.
Right.
And the woman who planned it didn't want to be left with the sort of like the, you know, with the deposit, if not. So it got canceled.
Oh, my gosh.
But then it was then it was decided to just this casual, anyone who's around, come to this restaurant in Providence. Great. And I thought,
great.
Perfect. And then there were a couple of people I knew like myself who were coming into Rhode Island.
Now, how big is your high school?
550.
Your graduating class?
Yes.
Jesus.
So not enough people out of 550. But there's a couple of reasons. Most people don't live in the state anymore.
Oh, okay.
And those who do see each other all the time.
Yeah.
It's a very tiny state.
Yeah.
The state of Rhode Island is the size of Chicago.
Right.
Right. It's and we know in Chicago, most of us don't leave our neighborhood.
Right.
Right. So, or a couple of neighborhoods that we go to.
Is this a public school?
Right. Public school.
Yep.
It's a public school. Cranston High School East, 1984.
There you go.
Go Thunderbolts. I don't give a fuck.
Thunderbolts.
Okay. I don't give a fuck.
That's a cool mascot, though.
It was a cool mascot.
It's kind of very butch.
So it was very butch.
Yeah.
It's a very butch school. And so then there were some other people that I really love and that I've seen outside of Rhode Island that have come to Chicago and we've hung out that I thought it would be fun to see them too. So then I decided I'm just going to do, I'm staying at Louisa's. So then I decided on the Saturday of what's supposed to be that evening to just have like a little mini reunion at Louisa's house. So it's, I graduated with Louisa, and then my friend Chris and my friend Jackie came up from Connecticut, and then these two other women and some, just some people. It was very small. It was totally impromptu, but we thought, oh, we'll just hang all day on Louisa's deck and we'll drink wine and whatever. Turned into a, like a really lovely, lovely day. Aww. So much so that I didn't go that night.
That night you didn't go?
I did not go. That's so like I never ended up going to, I like sort of threw my own version of a reunion and then didn't go to this unofficial
official
reunion. And I got all these messages from the two women who did come from out of town and who came to Louisa's. They're like, are you coming up? They left Louisa's and like, we'll see you later. I'm like, I don't know. And they're like, you have to come. Remember, we planned it in the summer partly because of you. And then they kept sending me texts. Are you coming? Are you coming? You're such a jerk. You're not coming. And I was like, I'm not coming. It's like a, you know, 40-minute ride. But I just didn't want to get out of, you know, I was wearing short shorts and sitting in a hot tub.
Yeah.
I didn't want to get out. I didn't want to leave. You know, I was like 2 or 3 bottles of rosé in.
Summer or rosé.
Listen, my rosé summer. And I didn't, so I never ended up
that's
going.
That's hilarious.
And so they gave me all this shit about it like during the night. And I felt a little bit guilty. And then the next day they both, separately from each other, said, you know what? We should have stayed at Louisa's.
Aww.
So that was my like 30th reunion.
Yeah, but you know, I don't know. It's like you go back, you see the people that you want to see.
I do, and
because
I
because you get to. I mean, with my high school, I haven't seen people. Well, it's really funny. You know, I had a couple people who came to see Cicada from my high school who, you know, was just so shocking. You know, they weren't even people that like I would have. You know, they were definitely friends, but not people that, you know, if I'd said like my core handful of, right. of good girlfriends, you know, they weren't. They were friends, but, you know, as time progresses, you know, those relationships, everything changes, you know.
Changes.
And if I saw any of my friends from high school, you know, I'd be so excited, you know. I mean, it was obviously, I think, big dishy news when I came out, and I think right. it went through the grapevine very quickly.
I don't think anybody was surprised when I came out. Oh. I mean, I came out when I was 17, so it's like...
I don't know if people were surprised or not when I was, but it just seemed fairly scandalous.
I came out in 1984.
Oh, yeah, I did not. So it seemed fairly scandalous, I think, but I haven't seen a lot of these people, and, you know, and some of that is... I mean, I guess it's not really fault, but like when I'm home for Christmas, when I'm doing a show, I'm in and out. I go home very quickly and leave. And then when I go in during, you know, different times of the year, it's like if I actively worked very hard, I could probably try to see some people. But
it's so hard.
My purpose when I go home is to really see my mother and my father, my brother, my grandmother, who's 105, you know?
Right.
And I spend a lot of time with her. And obviously, I mean, you know, any of those people weren't there, then there would be maybe more free time to, you know, do other things. But it's very, very hard, you know, it's very hard. And I've missed from shows, I have missed both my 10 and my 20 high school reunion.
Yeah.
And I went to my 10-year college reunion, which was, you know, interesting.
There's
it was
no need
fairly
for a college
fun.
Reunion. There was only like 10 people in my theater department and we all hang out anyway. They're
yeah,
all still my
I
best
mean,
friends.
Speaking of,
remind me to tell you about Sheila.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
One of my best college friends.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, the end of that is just that, you know, but Facebook has been a really beautiful way
beautiful.
For me to stay in touch with people. And if people are coming to Chicago,
and
see them.
And also a trap, though, because so I'm in Rhode Island and I can't see everybody. I want
right.
to. I always stay with Louisa. I always stay with Chris. I always stay with Jim. And there's some people that I see, like, I did not get to see my high school girlfriend, Liz, this time. It just didn't work
yeah.
out.
Yeah. And you can't
just,
do it all.
I can't do it all,
can't.
And I want to do it. But then the Facebook, like, are you in Rhode Island? You know, they
yeah.
see a picture posted or something like that. And I'm like, I am. I don't have any time, you know. So it's both a blessing and a curse, you know.
Yeah.
It's great to stay in touch with people. But then I'm caught arrears. The thing that I do want to say that I did get to do, which I'm so happy about, is Louisa's parents. I've talked before on the podcast about how I did not win the parent lottery as far as
yeah.
good parents go. I mean, I love my parents for who they were, but... I did not win the parent lottery.
Yeah.
But I was lucky enough to have my friend's parents be in my life. And
yeah.
I've known Louisa for 30 years now.
Yeah.
And, yeah, 30 years. 30
yeah.
plus years. And her parents have been in my life. And they're getting older.
Yeah.
Sylvia and Tony. And it's one of the things I have to do when I go home is see Sylvia and Tony.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because they're so old school. They're so beautiful. So Italian. In fact, he was an Italian teacher. He's
yeah.
from. He was born in Italy.
Oh, wow.
And And he and Sylvia fought so hard for marriage equality in Rhode Island. In fact, if anyone's interested, you go and put Tony and Sylvia DeLuca into Google, into YouTube, and you'll see their commercial for marriage equality.
Wow.
They're amazing. I mean, they're the most adorable.
Luisa married a woman named DeLuca.
No. Luisa's name is DeLuca. Sylvia and Tony DeLuca.
Oh, okay.
She married a woman named Brenda Harvey.
Brenda, that's right.
And they're fabulous. And her parents couldn't be happier for her. They're just fighting for equality. But so I wanted to see Sylvia and Tony. I just wanted to stop by and give them a hug.
Sylvia had
a little fall and she broke her foot, and so I wanted to see her and give her a hug. But no, they have to cook. So we go and we get there. The table is set. There's melon. She baked muffins.
They're Italian.
He's made frittatas. I mean, it was like the best meal I had all week.
Yeah.
And it was just Sylvia and Tony throwing something together. And that was so beautiful. But this is what I want to tell you about Sheila.
Okay, tell me about Sheila.
This is on a completely different thing. So my friend Sheila, this is for like the film lovers of the LBGT group. For those of us who love John Cassavetes films.
Yes.
John Cassavetes and his brilliant wife, Jenna Rollins, who's still with us.
Yep.
She's in her 80s.
Beautiful.
Gorgeous. Well, his last film as a director was called Love Streams.
Yeah.
And it got very limited release.
I remember Sheila writing a big article about it when he died.
Yes, exactly. Well, as a result of that article and a lot of her writings about Jenna Rollins, the Criterion Collection, which if you don't know, is sort of the Cadillac of when they release films on DVD or Blu-ray, Criterion is the Cadillac of that thing, where the resource material and the extras and the documentaries, Criterion's like the tippity top of that, right? And so they're finally releasing Love Streams. And so they approach Sheila, and she has done an essay that's going to be on the Criterion Collection of Love Streams about Jenna Rollins and her relation and her career and her importance to Cassavetes' success and how much of it is about her.
Uh-huh.
And it gets released tomorrow.
Oh my gosh.
You're a film nerd like I am, this is a big deal. It's a big deal. Like, for those of us who are like total film nerds, it's a big deal because it's never been.
Yeah.
This is sort of historic for this film. And
what year was the movie released?
I think it was in the 80s.
Okay.
And so Sheila does she does the voiceover as well. She does the actual text as you're watching the film, commenting on Jenna Rollins' work. And if you haven't gone to SheilaO'Malley.com and read some of her readings, or RogerEbert.com, where Sheila's one of the contributing film critics, you know that when Sheila gets to talking about actors that she loves.
Yeah.
If you're a film lover and a person who loves the arts and acting, check it out. It's going to be pretty amazing. I'm really proud of her.
So one of the films, I'm curious, I haven't read if Sheila's reviewed Boyhood, but I finally got to see Boyhood, which I think we talked about on the podcast, but I know we talked about.
Yeah.
which is,
Linklater's film.
Richard Linklater, who bases, his work in life in Austin, Texas, and so a lot of his films are set in Texas, not all of them, but many, many of them. And the things that put him on the map. And, often using a lot of, either local hires or local actors.
Or non-actors.
Usually,
whatever that means.
Or centered around some, this has Ethan Hawke and Patricia Arquette, as the parents. Mm. And is filmed over a span of, I think, 12 years.
He wanted to call it 12 Years, but then 12 Years a Slave came out and they had to call it something else.
Oh, there you go.
Which is why they called it Boyhood.
Yeah.
Which became slightly controversial because people thought, it's always about boys. And it's like, well, he is a boy, Richard Linklater.
Yeah, he is a boy. And the story's told through the eyes of the boy, but more and more after seeing it, I thought, wow, it's the story of this family.
Family.
You know?
Because Patricia Arquette's journey is gorgeous.
Yeah, she's really gorgeous in this film. And what they did was they... they got together, I guess, probably once every 2 years or...
Once a summer.
Once a year, okay.
For 12 summers.
Yeah, for like a week or two
and
filmed. And so we're watching all of them age. We're watching Ethan Hawke and
A 6-year-old become an 18-year-old before your eyes.
Yeah.
I think it's an extraordinary film.
And the sister, too.
The sister who's Linklater's daughter.
It's the big sister.
It's an extraordinary film. And it was interesting because I spent a little time in Rhode Island with my friend Christine, and she has 3 teenage boys.
Yeah.
A 19-year-old and then 2 twin 17-year-olds.
Uh-huh.
And having just seen Boyhood, and then and I've known these boys, you know, and Dylan, her oldest was 19, is pretty much the same age.
Yep.
You know, this is his lifespan, this film. And I spent some time with Dylan, went to the beach, and we hung out at his house and stuff like that, and he couldn't be a cooler kid, and I just was so struck by, this generation. I think that this generation, the millennials, get a lot of, I've talked about this before, get a lot of crap.
Is millennials the kids who are born across the millennium, or are they?
Yes, exactly. They're like, they're growing up in the new millennium, right? They're growing up in the.
But I'm wondering what the years are for millennials.
I don't know, because I'm Gen X. I'm the first year of Gen X. So then Gen X spanned, and then Gen Y.
Yeah,
right.
I'm either Gen X or Gen Y.
I think you're Gen Y. You're Gen X still. You're right. I think you're smack dab in the middle of Gen X.
Yeah, probably.
So these kids, and I'm just so struck by these. Of course, their parent, these boys that I spend time with, their parents are extraordinary, and I'm just struck by these boys. They're such typical boys in a way, and
right.
I mean that in the best possible way.
Right.
They play sports, and they're typical boys. They're sort of like carefree skateboards and guitars and and they are the most lovely. I just think that the world is. I see the world changing through them, specifically as far as like queer things go. We're talking, and then one of the boys, one of the twins, says, "Oh, Mom, tell Mitchell about that guy at the Del's Lemonade. That's what you have to get in Rhode Island.
Okay.
At the Del's Lemonade." There was a story of this guy who works at the Del's Lemonade stand near them, who I guess I never got to see him. Who's so good looking that nobody in the family can even look him in the eye. And then these three straight teenage boys and their mom related how they go to Dell's and they can't look at him in the eye. They literally like one of the twins, one of the 17-year-olds was like, I get nervous. I can't look. I get nervous. He's so, I want him to be my friend. I need his approval.
Guy at Dell's Lemonade.
Right.
It
was the dearest. It was the dearest, most darling story, but what's told in that story is this utter lack of fear, right? If homophobia is fear of gay people, these boys...
Or being perceived as gay.
Right, or any of that. Right, for themselves or in someone else, they do not possess it. It's not even a thing. So much so that they're saying to a gay man, oh my God, this guy is so good looking. I can't even talk to him. He's like my man crush. All three of them.
Yeah.
Actually, one of them was trying to be over it. He was like, yeah, whatever. I don't get it, but he's really good looking, whatever. It struck me as so, I don't know, a proof of evolution.
Well, and it's interesting, we talk about this a lot, you know, this new generation and we're both around young people, pretty regularly. And, you know, it's interesting because with a film like that, I don't remember who I was talking to about it, but you know, you kind of had to see who that kid was going to grow up to be. So you don't know what the story or the narrative of this film is going to be because he could have been the jock, but he's not a jock.
We don't know who's going to be. And in fact, Linklater's journey because Linklater had to see who this kid was going to be.
Who is he going
to
be?
Because if he's going to continue to film this kid, I can't wait for there to be like a DVD release, like a Criterion thing where he talks about that. He's talked about the film on TV.
That's right.
You know, but I want to, what was the contingency plan?
That's right.
What if this kid turned out to be somebody else? Would it have been a different film? Was it always going to be the story that Linklater told? Or was it going to be the story of this kid? It's so interesting.
I don't feel like this kid was enough of an actor that this was just this kid being this kid. You know, now whether or not the kid becomes a photographer, you know, is not a jock.
Right.
Is a more sensitive, artistic kid.
Right.
Quiet
right.
kid. He doesn't talk a lot in the movie, the whole movie. We're, of course, referencing all of his choices based on the family portrayal and the life that Linklater provides.
I'm just curious about what Linklater's... Well, what if at some point, 6 years in, the kid was like, I don't want to do this anymore? He may have, right? Or, I mean, he could have at any point said,
or he could have derailed. I mean, that story could have become anything.
Anything.
So it's kind of a really interesting artistic, free fall, too, to go, what's the story we're telling? I don't know.
I just thought it was an extraordinary film. And then to juxtapose it with spending time with boys who are of that time.
Yeah.
And to see, don't know, it gave me hope for the future.
Yeah.
I have to say, it made me hopeful. I think sometimes we get all these stories in the news and of just dreadful things going on in the world right now. So many dreadful, dreadful things. I mean, I'm a sort of an MSNBC junkie, which I know is ridiculous, but
yeah,
it's just as, you know, sensational as any other, as a conservative version, yes, of itself. But and so I can become inundated and get a little depressed with all the, like, yeah, garbage.
Yeah.
And then, you know, watching a film like Boyhood and just seeing life and then spending time with this family, my friend Chris and Tom's family, and I don't know. I'm encouraged.
Yeah.
I'm encouraged. It's not all bad news, people.
I am encouraged as well. I am encouraged as well. I think this new generation is, you know, being influenced. I don't think the gays have an agenda, but I think the influence, the thing we're talking about, you know, assimilation, integration, the stuff that's happening in Provincetown, the stuff, yes, that's happening in small, yes, town USA.
Here's the deal.
It's changing. I mean, I watched this documentary on television, The L Word Mississippi, you know, but at least there is a documentary going, right, this is what it's like to be a lesbian or be queer in small town Mississippi, you know, the
if
last
you raise
change.
A generation specifically of boys, I can only speak for boys because I'm a boy, and unfortunately boys are doing a lot of the evils in this world right now. If we can raise a generation of boys and girls who see people who have used to be other, meaning gays and lesbians,
yep,
as not just equal, but as honorable,
yeah,
then it's not an agenda, but it does help all of us to accept ourselves, because we're all other in some way.
Yep.
That's the scary part, is that we're all other. And so if we can teach a generation to accept what is considered the extreme of other,
right,
we know it's not because we're just sitting here on the couch,
right,
but if we can teach people that even what they perceive as the extreme of other is okay,
yep,
then the other in ourselves, that may be just the little thing that you feel different, is okay.
Yeah.
And I think that, if that's the gay and lesbian agenda, sign me up.
Yeah. I think it's an inside job.
It's
and
an
that's,
inside
and that's
job.
The hardest part, is that these people, which is what I thought I saw in this Boyhood film, which really doesn't have anything to do with anything gay.
No.
But it has everything to do with being gay.
Right.
Which is like, you know, how do we understand how we view the world?
Right.
Why we view it that way.
And how do we become young boys and girls to become men and women? And
that's
what is,
right,
that, what is that journey? And what do we learn along the way?
That's right.
And what do we take with us? And what do we leave behind?
That's right.
And what lessons get taught? And what lessons get taught that are positive? And what lessons get taught that are negative that we,
right,
take with us?
And I think it's that esteem, right? It's that individual self-esteem,
yes,
that if people felt a sense of self-esteem, they wouldn't have hate.
Right.
And I really believe
that.
And
if they feel it themselves, then they can instill it in others.
That's right. So that's the gay agenda.
That's the gay agenda. Self-esteem.
That's right. Amen.
Right, this whole idea of, like, this, very briefly, the whole idea that there's this straight white male pride parade going on or something like that. I think it may be a joke, but it's starting a little controversy. And I saw something that said, hey, we don't have parades because we're proud of being gay. We have parades because we're proud that we have the balls to say we're gay publicly. Don't have your own parade.
Right.
Be proud. Be psyched. You don't have to have one.
Right.
Come to operate. It's super fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah. I agree.
Self-esteem.
Self-esteem. The gay agenda.
That's it.
That's it.
Let's write a book.
Let's do. Hey, upcoming shows. We're going to be taking a look at Reeling, the new film festival coming out in September here in Chicago, the LGBT film festival. Always exciting.
Oh,
great time
film
to
nerds,
see.
Film nerds.
Yeah, really, really exciting. Some new wonderful films there. Also, Miss Coco Peru is coming to town. We're going to have her on the show. I'm going to take you to Curacao. Well, I'm not actually going there, but I'm enticing myself for that to be my new trip. I'm going to take
you
to Curacao as well. And much, much more in upcoming weeks. So everybody have a great week. We are rounding out the latter days of summer. So
don't
soak them in. Take it all in, folks. And Mitchell and I'll be writing a book in the backyard, sipping a glass of rosé.
Self-esteem.
Exactly.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.